living in a technological society, we have become more than ever slaves of time. So we wear our watches and we keep careful track of time passing. Somebody after yesterday's sermon said to me that in his workplace, he has to count every 6 minutes on a sheet which he hands in each day. Somebody who works in property not far from here. And yes, very often we see ourselves as victims of time's relentless tyranny. So we say things like, yes, time flies, or time drags. Or how about the grave, which will reach each of us one day? As I was speaking to me at the door just now, it reminded me of a member of this congregation who, until about 3 years ago, worked just around the corner. As a young man, I've just discovered he died recently. Well, Hector Berlioz, the French composer, said this about time. Time is a great teacher, but unfortunately it kills all its pupils. How do you think about time? Have you thought about the pressure of time as far as your own mortal life is concerned? Or how about the world's time zones? I was in bed one morning fairly early, about 1 a.m. I was fast asleep. The phone went, and from the other side of the world, somebody had miscalculated the time zones. And yes, it worked nowadays. The fax machines come, the emails pile up both night and day. There is a great pressure in time. Or how about your own family life? Perhaps you see very little of your parents, or your husband or wife, or your children, simply because time pressure is so great in the workplace. Or perhaps even time to relax is hard. You find yourself at times working a seven-day week. Do you perhaps not have any time for holiday? Or perhaps you find that church life, yes, church life, can overtake, and it takes on so much of your time that you're run ragged. There's a pressure of time in all sorts of different areas. Well, people relate to time in many different ways. I suppose referees call time, prisoners serve time, musicians, I suppose, mark time. I think that's what Gerard would say anyway, our pianist today. Historians record time. Loafers kill time. Statisticians keep time. But no matter how people relate to time, the fact remains that all of us are given the same amount of time each day. There are only 24 hours a day, which is something like, I think, 168 hours a week. So how are we to use our time day by day? Well, what Paul reminds us of here in Romans 13 is that it's important to know God's time. And chapter 13 of Romans looks at various responsibilities a Christian has. Responsibility to the state, responsibility to our neighbours, and then in verse 11 to 14, responsibility of a Christian to live as a man or woman of the day. I want to give you three concrete ways to make sure that we are living as people of the day, because Paul uses that extended metaphor to try and make us realise how we should live day by day. You see, as Christians, because of what Christ has done, Christians have a new responsibility towards time. Well, three things I want to point out today. First thing, it's time to wake up. Second thing, that it's time to strip off, if you'll excuse that rather indelicate phrase. And the third thing, it's time to get dressed. So first, it's time to wake up. Look at verse 11, will you? Paul says this, and do this, understanding the present time. The hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. Or literally, in the original language, the hour, says Paul, is already. And glance on to verse 12. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. And yet, how do you relate to time? Let's be honest, many people who work here in the West End, there's an aimlessness in their attitude to time. It's very apparent today. Well, how do people view their lives? One day, they say, is like another, or next year will be like this year, which is like last year. There is a sort of pervading aimlessness and lostness when it comes to relating to time. And therefore, too often, time is filled up rather than directed. The Christian should have a different view of time. and see time in a totally different way to the non-Christian, because the Bible has a view of time which should be my framework and your framework for our daily lives. Well, notice what Paul says about time here. Yes, he says it's time to wake up, and he says it's time to wake up because time is moving forward. Verse 11, the hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. And yes, Eastern religions have a circular view of time. It goes on decade after decade in a circle. It just goes on and on in a repetitive way. But actually, that isn't the Christian view of time. Christians say history has a start and a finish, a beginning and end. Creation, and then the end, the return of Christ. And down the centuries, God's spoken by his prophets, and supremely in the Lord Jesus Christ. And for the Christian, time is moving forward towards a purpose. And the Christian understands that time cannot be repeated or stopped. There is an age to come and this age. And we as Christians, if we are Christians, live in the overlap. And that actually gives attention to our living. Time is important. Even the fact we experience pressure indicates that we do know something about the value of time and using it. And Paul reminds us that yes, the only time in one sense I have is now. I use it or I lose it. It's not returning. And in the purposes of God, time is moving on to that climax when Christ returns. Well, how do you live in relationship to time? Some people live in the past and they perhaps look back to a glorious past, things they've done and achieved or experienced, perhaps business plans executed or projects completed, and their life is always looking over their shoulder to the past. Others live looking in the past with regrets. They regret things they've not done, things they have done, things which have gone wrong. Relationships haven't been as they should have been. And they are, if you like, if-only people. If only I'd done this then. If only I'd done that year. And yes, others still live in the future. Their life is future plans, future ideas, future ambitions. And I guess those who live in the past and those who simply live in the future, whether realistically or unrealistically, miss the present. The present opportunity is utterly wasted. And yes, the Christian knows time is moving on, because yes, time is coming to a climax. Verse 12, the night is nearly over. The day is almost here. The day is the day of salvation, when what we've begun to enjoy now, if we're Christian believers, will be brought to its fulfillment. You see, all time has a direction, and Christians look forward to a climax, the climatic intervention of Jesus Christ as judge, when he will wind up history. Meantime, you and I live in what the Bible calls the last time. Now, that's not the time immediately before Jesus returns. No, it's simply the time between Jesus' ascension and his return. No wonder if that's the case. But Paul, verse 11, says, it's time to wake up. Martin Luther, that great man of the Reformation, one of my great heroes, wrote about his own life, that he lived his life as if Christ died yesterday, rose again today, and is coming tomorrow. Isn't that how we should view our own lives? Shouldn't that direct the way we use our time? Because yes, the day of sin and ignorance around the world is almost over. And Paul says, look, you know the hour, you know it's time to wake up. Time to wake up as God's people. And we need to hear that command ourselves. We too easily forget to see history and time from a Christian point of view. We forget time's moving on. Too often it seems that the church, God's people, are asleep. I love the, I suppose, a choir boy favourite hymn, which they perhaps shouldn't sing in churches, about the church. It goes on to the tune of Onward Christian Soldiers. Perhaps you know it. like a mighty tortoise, moves the church of God. Brothers, we are treading where we've always trod. Well, that's terrible, because time is moving on. And tomorrow, next week, today, you'll never have again. We all have 24 hours a day, 168 hours a week. We use it or lose it. John Wesley, who lived not very far from here, just in a street near where I live, as a young man, he used to have in front of his Bible, Vive hodie, live today. How we need to do that ourselves, because time is moving forward, and therefore there's an urgency to the hour, and we need to wake up. So second, it's time to strip off. Now, rather indelicately put, perhaps, but look at verse 12. The night is nearly over, the day is almost here, so let's put aside, literally strip off vigorously, the deeds of darkness. Now, will you please notice that Paul doesn't call these Christians to a general frenzied activity, but rather he gives them something important to do. Verse 13, let's behave decently, as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sex immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Why? Well, because time is moving on, because Christ's return is imminent. And there's something important for us to do. We need to strip off those things which so easily will cramp our style and hinder our use of time, hinder and wreck our Christian life. I wonder what's your reaction. Just look at verse 13, will you, again. Glance down at what's mentioned there. Orgies, drunkenness, sex immorality, debauchery, dissension and jealousy. Perhaps you're somebody who this lunchtime says, actually, John, it's a long time since I did any of that. That's before I knew Christ, that I used to live like that. But stop and think for a moment. What are the marks of orgies and drunkenness and immorality and debauchery and dissension and jealousy? Well, there are many marks of such behaviour, but perhaps these are some of them. There is selfishness or indulgence, self-indulgence. There's wastefulness. We waste and use up time, and we use up people. There's also destructiveness of ourselves and of other people. Yes, of people made in the image of God. And our conduct may not be so extreme as that which Paul lists. But actually, if we're honest, don't we so often use our time selfishly or in a wasteful way or in a destructive way? Certainly in my life, I'm aware that it has not always been as it should have been. And because time is moving on, I, like you, need to hear Paul's command to strip off those things which are so selfish and wasteful and destructive. But then third, encouragingly, Paul says it's time to get dressed, but to dress up in the new character of living. Verse 12, so let's put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armour of light. That will mean saying no to those things which are wrong. And can I say, on the pressure of time, too often we find our diaries filled, both with leisure activity sometimes, but also church activity and some work activity as well, which actually just wrecks us more and more. And if we say no to sinful things, I wonder whether also we need at times to take control of our diaries and say no to other things, so actually we can get the right priorities in life. Nobody ever says that when you meet them at their deathbed that they wish they'd spent more time at work. And perhaps some of you are working so hard, but actually you're doing it for that next little promotion. But what's it doing to your family life or other parts of your life, even your Christian service? It may be you're doing too much even at church. Well, yes, we are to dress up as for battle, says Paul. Put the armour of light on. Yes, living for Christ, obedience to Christ, Christ-like actions. Well, why do this? Because of the urgency of the time and because of the hostility of evil. So Paul says, verse 14, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, yes, we experience that present and future tension. We live in the in-between time now. But what Paul is saying to us is understand the time and understand what's appropriate for the time. Have you given thought and prayer to that in your own life? The West End working world is frenetic, I know. What are you thinking about this lunchtime? Is it some dream of a future, perhaps retirement even? Or are you looking back to the past with regret, thinking about missed opportunities in the past? Or perhaps you're not thinking about the present, and because you're either in the past or the future, what you have at the moment, the present, is slipping away and then is gone. I think as Christians, yes, faced with great time pressure, especially here in the West End, we must realise that the things which matter most must never be at the mercy of those things which matter least, whether it's Christ-like living, or our families, or Christian service, or doing our jobs well. And the great surprise of Romans 13, as I've read it, is this, that here's Paul filling our minds with heaven, with eternity. He says, look, our faith should be full of eternity. But he also says with equal measure, as it's full of eternity, so it's going to be full of faithful common duty day by day, whether at home or at church or in the workplace. Some great reminders here from Paul about time and quite how we apply these. Perhaps we need to discuss together over lunch today. But time to wake up, because time's moving forward and to a climax. Time also to strip off, and then time to get dressed. May God help us to do that as we need to in our different situations. Let's pray. The Apostle Paul says, do this understanding the present time. Father, the path isn't always clear, and the cascade of pressures on us can mean that we lose track of your priorities. So help us to live a day at a time, but to live a day at a time understanding the time. And so we ask that we would be wise and help us to reassess where we need to. And if we're in the right direction at the moment, please remind us of that and underline it in our lives. And all this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.